Welcome to Late Talker Radio, the podcast that helps you navigate the early years when faced with your child having language delay. Packed with everything you need to feel empowered and positive about the future. Here's your host, consultant speech and language therapist of 20 years, Joanne Jones.
Hello and welcome to today's podcast. So today I am talking about speech therapy at home that you can do during these uncertain times when perhaps clinics are shut, speech therapists are not doing direct work, and children are not accessing school. How can you manage your time at home? How can you keep up with the speech therapy? And how can you make sure that your child is within an environment that's going to support their learning, support their development, and support their progress? So what I wanted to talk to you today is talk through some of the things that you can be doing at home. And what's really important for me to get across to parents is that actually how we speak to our children and the strategies we use in our talking are the most important element of speech therapy. All the rest of it, maybe the worksheets that you see a speech therapist using, or the particular toys and games, they're just a scaffold. They're just a scaffold for the strategies that the speech therapist uses in her language. And so if you can learn those skills and learn those strategies, sometimes it's they're very simple, but actually quite difficult to implement. But if you can learn them and have them in your toolbox, you can pull speech therapy out of your bag 40 times a day, no hassle. And so your child will be getting really good speech therapy. I can hear the doubt kind of coming from you, but you know, the speech therapist knows what the targets are and they know what they're working on and they're doing particular activities that are going to help my child to learn that. And I understand your concern. But once you understand where your child is up to and you know a little bit about how language develops, the strategies that we use all the way along here are strategies that are useful to help language development. So the first thing that I want to say is if you haven't already done it, please go over to my members area and I have a free screening available for you. If you're seeing this on a social media post, I will put the link below. And if not, go onto my website and follow the link through to my training area, and there you'll find free access to a screening. Now, when I'm talking about language development, I split it up into five groups, and these are categorized by the most important aspects of language development. So the children in group one, these are children who are not yet using words. They are very much in their own world, often very happy children, busily doing what they do, but not really enjoying that interaction with a parent. These are the children that don't really respond when you call your name, don't seem to want you to play with them, maybe very keen on screens, but not so keen on interactive play. And these children are our group one children, and they don't yet send a deliberate message to you that they want something. So if, for example, they're hungry, they might stand and whinge, or they might go and stand by the fridge, but they don't get you or indicate to you that that's what they want. They just kind of follow their own instincts. They react to how their body feels. And sometimes they have sensory difficulties with integrating their senses. So they find it difficult even to recognize when those things are happening. Group two children are when the children move on to realizing that you're the key to their world. So they're still not talking, but what they have realized is that they can send a message to you and that will meet their needs. So they might put their hands up to be lifted up, or they might use a sign to indicate that they're hungry, or they might look at you and then look at the object that they want and point to it. But it involves a three-way exchange. It involves you and it involves what they're looking at, so what they're wanting and them. So there's that three-way, that triangulation. And they will indicate to you very clearly, not talking, but with a very clear message, sometimes facial expression, sometimes body movement or body language, and they will let you know what it is that they want. Group 3 children, this is when their language starts to come on. Their talking begins to develop and they develop single words. And those words start with the words that are in their immediate interest or environment. So things that are really important to them are going to be the first words. Often there's some people in there, there's some objects in there, there might be a few verbs in there, but it tends to be the people and objects closest to them, the things that are the most important. It then expands a little bit, so it becomes things that are in their environment but less regularly, and it begins to include some verbs. And when children get to 50 words that they're understanding and they're using, they begin to then put combinations together, and these are our group 4 children. And at group 4, they're making little phrases. First it's 2 words and then it's 3 words, but they're putting ideas together in order to communicate what they need. So they might say want drink or daddy shoe or mummy car. So they're beginning to put 2 separate ideas, 2 words together and give you more of an explanation of what they want. And then once they move into our last group, which is group 5, they're beginning to put sentences together. They're beginning to understand grammar. They begin to understand concepts like bigger and biggest. They're beginning to understand past tense and future tense. So their language really becomes enriched and they can talk about things that happened yesterday, or they can think about things that are going to happen tomorrow. And so their language becomes more complex. And as they go through this phase, towards the end of this phase, they're also using their imagination to be able to tell you things that aren't necessarily things that have been in their direct experience. So from that, you can see how your child's language builds up, how it goes from one stage to the other. And the other important thing is to say that play and attention and listening, interaction, understanding of language, the words that they're saying and the clarity of the words that they're saying, all the different nuggets of language development, all the different aspects that we look at. And children have to get good at all of those within one group before they move on to the other. And now I say always, that's some children have a bit of a mixed profile, so they'll be really good at one aspect and another aspect will be maybe in one of the lower groups. And that shows us where this child has to work on. So if you go over and download my free screening tool, what you'll be able to do is look at all those areas in the different groups and see where your child is at. So if you've got a child who is group 2 across the board, you know that you are working on words and getting your child to understand and use words. If your child is group 3 for talking and understanding, but group 1 for attention and listening or interaction, you know that you've got to work on the interaction first to bring it up to the level of the other skills. So already you're beginning to see what your goals are. So pop over there and do that with your child. And it's going to give you a really clear idea as to what's next. What do we do now? So I would plan your day out and I would have special times where there's no background noise, there's no other siblings about, and it's just time for you and your child, one-to-one, you on the floor or your child and you at the same height. So you're face-to-face, eye-to-eye, nothing else going on. I would also think about your routines and how you can plan your routines to make them much more around language. So maybe looking at adding visuals or adding signs when you're doing those routines, adding songs to make those routines come to life for your child and to give them lots of interaction amongst them. And then there is things like story time that can be enhanced for language learning. So when you're going to the speech and language therapist's clinic, you might be having an hour of speech therapy, or they might be coming to your house, or you might be having it 2 or 3 times a week. And I can imagine that it would feel like, how am I going to replace that? Like, that was a lot of speech therapy. But by looking at the different times during the day and slotting in little moments when you've got your child's attention, you've got their engagement, they're interested in what you're doing, you could have maybe 20, 30, 40 of these little exchanges of language input, and they will add up to probably more than you were getting by going to the speech therapy office a couple of times a week. And I think it's really important to recognise that you are the key to your child's learning. Children learn from their parents at a much greater extent than they learn from anybody else. They are looking at you and they're focused on you, and even if you're not getting that interaction yet, it's you that your child wants that interaction with. It's just that they're not quite there with the skills yet. So please don't underestimate how important you are to this process. So, I mean, I could talk all day about this. I could do a 10-hour podcast with all the things that you can do and try and say and see during this time. But I just decided that, like your child, there's no point in me overloading you. You don't need a lot all at once. What you need is enough to take now and go and run with it. So the first thing was the screening and going over that screening. The second thing is looking at your day and looking at first some time to do special time, and at your routines as to where you can start popping in these little bits of extra support around language. And the third thing is I've got five strategies that I want you to use. And you can use these strategies in the special time, but you can use them outside of that as well and create little magical moments where you get your child's engagement, you've got their interest, you're connected, and then you input language. And what I always say to my clients is what's really important for our children is that our focus is on inputting language. And so that means we're telling the child the word, they're giving them the answer, we're inputting all the time into their into their brains, which are like mini computers. We're putting the data in. And what we're not doing is dragging the data out. We're not asking questions. We're not asking them to tell us. We're not asking them what they're doing. We're concentrating on inputting all the time, and the output will come of its own accord. So the five things that I want you to concentrate on in order for you to do that in these magical moments, in this special time, and through your routines, is to follow your child's lead. Now, you have probably heard that before from a speech therapist, and you've probably thought, oh yeah, I do that. I do that already, and well, why is she telling me that? Is that all you're going to say to me? But this strategy is really, really important, and it's very, very simple. It doesn't sound much when somebody says it to you, but the impact that it can have is almost bigger than any other impact. Because what we do when we follow a child's lead is we tell them that they're important. We tell them that we see them and we hear them. We tell them that we're on their side, we're interested in them, and we're ready to follow. And when you do this, it gives the child, not at first, but very slowly over a week or so, it gives your child confidence to come forward with more. And the problem is that in busy lives and busy days, it's really easy to find your day is filled with, we just need to do this, and if you could just do that, and if I just do that, and you know, you're directing traffic because you're just so busy. But if you stop and you watch and you listen and you see what it is that your child's interested in, what it is that your child wants you to know about, what it is that really gets their attention, and you copy them and you follow what they're doing and you copy what they're doing and you're with them in the moment without saying, oh, look at the dog outside, and oh, come on, let's go and have your dinner, and oh, why have you put your shoes on there, and can we put these things back in the box? You stop all of that. You stop all of the stage direction and you concentrate on the drama that's happening. And when you watch and you look and you listen, you begin to lead your child from behind, and it's a really, really powerful thing to do. The second thing that you do is you then add in an idea, you add in a word, you add in the next thing that you could do in that game. If your child has very limited play, for example, and maybe they are they've got a shaker and they're shaking it, and so you would pick the shaker up and copy the shaking, and your child would stop and you would stop, and they'd drop the shaker and you'd drop your shaker, and then they'd pick the other shaker up and you'd pick another shaker up, and then they'd shake, you'd shake. So you're doing this like little game of they do, you do, they do, you do. And then you put the shaker on your head and you stop. Or you roll the shaker off the sofa. Something a bit different, a bit funny, a bit, and that's going to catch attention. And when you do that, your child notices. They might not copy you at first, but you've got their attention. And so then they do something and you copy them back, and they do something and you copy them back, and then they add another thing and there it is. You add your idea, and you can build up conversation like this. Number three is invitation to play. And what I mean by this is look around for new and different ideas around your home. You don't need to be buying things off Amazon. You don't need to be, trying to get out to the shops. This is stuff that you have in your house, and you create little ideas for them to spark that interest. So if you've been watching your child for a while and following their lead, you will know what kind of things they are interested in. And you would find something around the house to entice them to play. So for example, going back to the child with the shaker, you might think, so my child likes doing this shaking thing. What I'm gonna do is I've got some pots of dried beans in my cupboard, or some dried peas or some lentils in different pots, and I am going to just put them to one side where my child can reach them in a safe way, and just leave them there for your child to explore. So you're not, it can be really difficult as a mom, because when you've gone to the effort of coming up with an idea and making sure that it's available to your child, you're a bit like, come and have a look, come and see, what can you do with this? As soon as you start doing that with a child who is language delayed or has got to any other developmental delays, it's almost like a shield goes up and they're like, no, don't want to do it, pressure, don't want pressure. So you just put them somewhere in the way of temptation. If your child loves cars, save up the innards of your toilet rolls and put them with some bricks so you can make some tube ramps with them, or the innards of kitchen rolls, or wrapping paper rolls. And you could, as you walk past, don't mention it, don't talk about it, don't entice them over to play with it, but as you walk past, you might throw a car down one of the tubes. And then you just leave it. And then when they go over, that's when you copy. And you start adding in another idea and another idea. And then the next day you've got another invitation to play. You might put the pots and pans out and some metal spoons. And again, you just leave them there for them to be enticed by. And by doing this, you're inviting them to play without any pressure. And you're giving them the message that whatever they do is okay, because you're there and you're going to reflect back what they're doing. And it is a very supportive environment, and you'll find that your child is beginning to do more and look at more and play with more. And as you're adding all these ideas, I want you to add the language. So I don't want you to say, oh, now we've got a shaker and we're going to shake it like this. I want you to go, shaker, if your child's at group one, two, or three. Shake, 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 stop, go, shake, shake, shake. So you're putting in very quick, very little words. Now, if your child is already saying lots of single words, you can then start to add two words. And if your child's using two words, then use three words. And if your child's using three words, you want to start adding sentences. And so you, whatever they're doing, you add one. You might want to add describing words if they're at stage four, and you would want to add grammatical words, prepositions, if they're at group five. And the last thing that you're going to do in these moments, in this special time, in your routines, is you're going to comment and not question. And again, this is something that lots of speech therapists will have told you, and you might have heard, you might have tried, and you might have forgotten about, or you might still be trying, or you might have disregarded as being like, is that it? Is that the speech therapy? But of all the things that you can try and do, this is the one that has the biggest impact. And ask any of the people who have been through My Powerful Parenting. If you know them, if you see them online, ask them about it, because this is what they found to be the most powerful and the most useful. So when you stop asking questions, stop asking your child to say something, stop asking them to tell grandma or tell daddy or show me this or do this, if you start to just comment on what they're doing, they start to begin to develop their language, because it takes off all the pressure and it's inputting language. So give it a go. So your day is going to be structured around invitations to play, special time where you're copying and following, routines that you have adapted to add language in this way by not asking questions, inputting the language, inputting an idea, and where you know exactly what it is that you're working towards. So you've pinpointed by using the screening tool, what is it? What's the next step that my child needs? And here you've got all the recipes you need to be able to help your child during this time when speech therapy is not going on. And then you can think to yourself, and I want you to really consciously think, like, I'm doing this. This is okay. We're not missing out. We're not in that scarcity mindset of we're not getting enough, and so therefore nothing's going to happen and my child's going to fall behind. Actually, we're doing really well on our own, and we're doing all the things that my child needs to make that progress. And if you need some extra help, I am there in the group, Parenting Children with Speech, Language and Communication Difficulties, answering questions and helping people on their way. Or you can join my membership, which has got loads of benefits of being able to work directly with me, for me to help you to find out where your child is on that list, and for you to be in a group of like-minded parents. Drop me an email at hello@joannejones.co.uk. Tell me what you need and I will come back to you and show you how I can help you. Thank you so much for being part of the podcast today, and I look forward to speaking to you soon. Bye now.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Please look out for the next episode coming soon. And don't forget to take a look at our show notes at joannejones.co.uk. See you next time on Late Talker Radio. Bye for now.